Have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Church to share the gospel. I also power because we have failed to effectively take the gospel to the world around us.
Amen.
I think until we rectify this and get back to making the gospel the church's priority, we're not going to really see the power of God get unleashed in our day. So this morning I want to give you some things, some reasons, straight out of God's word, why the gospel is so important. The first thing I bring out is that the gospel is so important. It matters so much because of the extremes that Christ went to even make the gospel possible. Now let's start off with a real elementary question this morning. Exactly what is the gospel? We had a little group on Saturday. We've been meeting here and doing some evangelism training. And you know, I talked yesterday, you know, us Christians, we're real good at throwing around terms that we know what they mean. But unfortunately, the world out here, they don't necessarily know what they mean. Sometimes I think we talk and they don't understand what we're saying because we're using terms they don't understand. But exactly what is the gospel? You know, if you go up to a lost person and say you need to obey the gospel, you know what? They probably need to know what the gospel is first, don't they? What is the gospel? Well, it's real simple. In 1 Corinthians 15, let me read this to you. I'm going to turn this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Paul said this. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." You hear that? "The gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And what did Paul preach unto him? Verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." I believe this makes it abundantly clear that the gospel is the message of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You want a definition of the gospel? There it is. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And also 2 Timothy is in agreement with this because in 2 Timothy 1:10, the Word of God says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. Think about the gravity of these statements for a moment. In order for the gospel to be possible, God had to leave the glories of heaven and come down here to this little hovel we call earth.
Amen.
I'll say it again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen.
The Word, which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means God left the glories of heaven to come here.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm trying to leave the hovel of earth to get to the glory of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know why he wouldn't do that in reverse. But he did. And he came down here as a human being and the creator of all things. Think about this. Became subject to his creation. Might I say, in the most helpless of manners. He came to this earth, not as a full-grown man, not as a mighty king, but as a tiny baby born of a virgin, raised by very humble and lowly parents. When the time arrived, Christ began his public ministry, during all of which all he did was do good to people and minister to them and tell them the truth and love them. But ultimately, the very people that Christ came to die for rejected him. And they rejected him so much that they killed him. And this happened even though Christ had no sin. Friends, they didn't just kill Jesus, okay? They killed him in the most brutal fashion mankind has ever invented to kill another human being, and that's crucifixion. It was a long, brutal battle that Christ suffered through. What he willingly endured. He of his own power, he of his own will, went to the cross. And he willingly endured it because by dying on the cross, Christ
was dying for the sins of the world.
Amen.
By dying on the cross, Christ was dying for your sin. And he was dying for my sin. And his death on the cross, praise God, isn't the end of the story. Because on the third day, Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
And he defeated sin and death for all who would believe.
Amen.
And through his work on the cross and his subsequent resurrection, he has indeed brought life and immortality for all who trust in him. Friends, all I can say today is this. I probably can just quit right here. Because when we consider the extremes that our Lord went through just to make the gospel possible, when we consider what he endured just so that we could be saved, you know what? I think that in and of itself is enough proof that indeed the gospel matters.
Amen.
I got a couple other things I want to share with you this morning. Why it matters, the gospel also matters because, according to our original text, it is the power of God and the salvation. Again, in Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I know I've said this a couple hundred times. I will say it again this morning. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm telling you, anyone who is saved today didn't get saved until they heard the gospel, didn't they?
Amen.
You had to hear the gospel to get saved, didn't you? Somebody had to come to you. Somebody had to open the Word of God. Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. Somebody had to tell you about your sin. Somebody had to tell you how Jesus came to this earth and died for your sin and paid the penalty for you. And they had to tell you about how they put him in the grave and how he rose from the dead and defeated sin and death. Now that's the gospel, isn't it? Somebody had to tell you that. You had to hear that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved.
Amen.
How in the world can anyone get saved without hearing the gospel? Because there's only one way to be saved, isn't there? And that one way is Jesus.
Amen.
In order to be saved, we have to know what he did. And what he did was die in our place. Again, there's great agreement in Scripture at this point. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be a prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to this, the power of God. Friends, God is all powerful.
Amen.
And all power belongs to him. And because this is true, his word is powerful. And since the gospel is his gospel and it's part of his word, the gospel is powerful. And it is God, the word God says, the power of God in salvation. Friends, the world, listen to me, the world needs to hear the gospel.
Amen.
We don't need another politician. We don't need a third political party. We don't need more science. We don't need more worldly education. You know what the world needs? The gospel.
Amen.
The world needs Jesus. It means the world needs the gospel. And guess what? We need to proclaim it to them. If we're ever going to see God come and truly do something powerful, day, then we're going to need the power of his Holy Ghost to get it done. But if we neglect to proclaim and believe and obey the powerful word of God, which is quick and powerful, if we fail to proclaim the gospel message, which is the power of God and the salvation, tell me, how are we going to expect to see the power of God be unleashed? If we fail to stand for the word, proclaim the gospel, how are we ever going to see people saved? How are we ever going to see people's lives be transformed? If we fail to do these things, the very basic things that the church is to be doing, how in the world could we ever expect God to pour out his power upon our church or upon our nation? People of God need to get about their Father's business.
Amen.
And our Father's business is saving sinners. But part of God's plan to get this done is for you and I to proclaim the gospel to. And I'm telling you, friends, it is a powerful message. A powerful message. A while back, I had the opportunity to share the gospel with a very ardent atheist. my first run at him, man, it was extreme failure. But I didn't give up. I kept working and making friends with this fellow and ministering to this fellow. And finally, I got my opportunity to share the gospel with this fellow. And once I got it, I took it. I opened my Bible and I told him the truth. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I told him the truth. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. I told him the truth, that it's not just talking about physical death, but the second death, the soul to eternal hell. And I told him, I said, if you want to avoid the second death, then you're going to have the second birth, being born again, by coming to Jesus Christ. I'd love to tell you the man got saved. He did. But I am going to tell you this. As I opened the Word of God, as I put it in front of him, and I allowed him to read it himself, God shook him through this moment. He shaken him. He was convicted, not because of my word, but because of God's word and because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Becker,
man,
many here. I was reading the other day. Ministry, book of Acts. One place he went, you know, it says after he preached, it says some believed, some did not. I mean, it just says that plain in King James. Some believed, some did not. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You go out here and proclaim the gospel, you go out here and tell people about Jesus, some will believe, and some won't. But we need to tell them. Salvation matters because of the extremes the Lord went to make it possible. The gospel matters, friends, because it, listen to me, it is the only hope. The only hope for the lost man or woman to avoid eternal hell.
Amen.
I want you to listen to what Peter said when he preached the very first sermon of the New Testament age. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, listen to what he said. This is part of his sermon. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." Verse 23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." What Peter told him? He told him about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, that's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's what he preached. And you know what it says in verse 36? He says this to him. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ."
Amen.
He told the truth. And what happened? Well, when these people heard the message, verse 37 says, they were pricked in their hearts. You know what that means? It means that the Holy Ghost came and began to convict them. Showed them their sin, showed them their need for a Savior. And then some of them asked Peter and the apostles what they needed to do to be saved. Peter told them to repent and come to Christ. And you know what happened? Over 3,000 of them did.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else. I know the Bible doesn't say this, but I just know because I know what Jesus said. He said that there are many going down the broad path through the wide gate that lead to destruction. There's a few in comparison. They're going down that straight, that narrow path through that straight gate that leads to life. He gave the parable of the sower. He said about one in four is going to fall on good ground and be fruitful. You know what that tells me? It tells me that while 3,000 got saved, there were many thousands more that day that did not.
Amen.
Don't think for a second
that everyone who was present that day at Pentecost who heard Peter preach got saved. I guarantee you they didn't. There were more who walked away and said no that day than there were that came forward and said yes. That's the way it is. But I'm going to tell you this. Had Peter failed to preach the gospel, or had the other apostles failed to stand up and preach the gospel, I'm going to make you a promise. No one would have gotten saved that day.
Amen.
At Pentecost. Not one. Not one.
Like I said, Acts 28:24 says, when Paul preached the gospel in Rome, some believed, some did not. That still holds true. Some are going to believe and some will not. You know what? Since we don't know who's who, guess what we need to do? We need to tell everyone.
Amen.
Gospel, friends, is his gospel. It's something the Lord went to exchange to make possible. It is the power of God and salvation. It is the only hope for the lost man or woman to avoid eternal hell. Because these things are true, guess what? It definitely matters. But there's one more reason I want to give you why the gospel matters, and that is the gospel matters because it is the main calling of every born-again believer. Let me give you a few scriptures here real quick. With Matthew chapter 28:19-20, the Great Commission, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said we were to be witnesses for him wherever we went, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm telling you, I don't care what other calling you have. I don't care what talents God has given you. You're to be using those other callings and those talents as a tool to reach people with the gospel.
Amen.
It's exactly what you're to be doing. I'm going to give you an example. A few years back, there was a young woman over there on Falcon Heights, maybe more than a few years ago, but she lived over there. She had a single-wide mobile home. She had some medical problems. She had part of her leg amputated. Put her in a wheelchair. She could get into her mobile home because it had steps up in it. I'm so proud. Men of our church went, and I think the churches went and bought the materials to build a ramp. And the men of the church went over and built her a handicap ramp, a nice one. It was the code, Brother Jeff. It was less than 1 inch for every foot in her eyes. I mean, it was a dandy. And that young woman was just so happy because it made it so easy for her to get into her home. You know what? That was a ministry. And the men in the church used some talents that God had given them to go and build that ramp. Was that the ultimate goal? Just make sure she could get in her house? No, man, I want to make sure she gets to heaven. So I used that opportunity to get a chance to share the gospel with her. Indeed, I was able to sit down with her, and I was able to open the Word of God. I probably was there for 45 minutes talking with her about salvation, and I shared the gospel with her. Yes, we ministered to a physical need, but you know what? We also ministered to her greatest. Got news for you. Her need for a Savior was far greater than her need for a ramp.
Amen.
So we use that opportunity to do anything we're supposed to do. I don't care what kind of talent you got. I don't care what kind of ministry you got. I'm listening to him. Use it to share the gospel.
Amen.
Brother Jeff goes down faithfully every week. God bless him. He's been doing it for as long as I've been here and longer, and I've been here a long time now. But he goes down every week downtown to Gateway Children's Services. And he goes down there and he ministers to those kids and he shows those kids love. And I'll tell you something, they don't see a whole lot. But he doesn't just go down there and show them that he loves them. You know what he does? He shares the gospel with them. Jeff and Andrea have had the same kids out to their farm many times. You know what they do? They share the gospel with them. And between both of their ministries, you know what? There's been a bunch of those kids that we've
seen saved?
The Lord.
Been a bunch of them we baptized here in the churches. Been a bunch of them we baptized out at the farm in the pond. Those kids wouldn't, they got saved, wouldn't have got saved had somebody not shared the gospel with them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's great to use your talents. It's great to minister to people. It's great to do good things for other people. But I'm telling you, the main thing we're to be doing is sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
That's the main thing we're to be doing. I don't care what kind of talent God's given you, what kind of ministry, as God's people, everything we do should be done with the ultimate goal of sharing the gospel with those who need to hear. I have a good friend of mine about my age. He was in the Marine Corps. And he said something to me one time, and I never forgot about the Marine Corps. He said, the Marines are special. Sorry, Larry. Sir, all you guys were in the Army and Air Force, he said, Marines are special. And I looked at him and I said, why is that? He said, because it doesn't matter what you do in the Marine Corps. He said, you can be a truck driver, you can be a cook, you can be a mechanic. He said, it don't matter, except the fighting starts. Every Marine is an infantryman. And every Marine will act. Christian, I'm going to tell you something. I think that ought to be kind of the mantra of the church.
Yeah.
You may be a song leader. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be this or that or the other within the church, but I'm telling you, when the fighting starts, every one of us is to be an infantryman. Every one of us is to be in the fight. Every one of us is to be sharing the gospel.
Amen.
Because friends, we are. I look today, things going on in our country, things going on with the young people in the schools. The craziness, friends, that's going on. That's what I'm telling you. Satan is kicking our tails. You know all we need to do to counter it? Is just proclaim the truth.
Amen.
The truth that Jesus saves.
Amen.
Tell me, we don't need better schools. We don't need more money. We don't need different politicians. We need Jesus. The only way we're going to get it is if God's people are faithful to share the gospel.
Amen.
That's what the church needs to do, friends, is why we're here. It's why we're here. So yes, the gospel matters. It matters because of the extremes that the Lord went to make the gospel possible. It matters because it is the power of God and salvation. It matters because it is the only hope for the lost man or woman who is in danger of eternal hell. It matters because it is the main reason that the Lord left his people on this earth. Tell me, friends, if we fail to tell them the gospel, who do you think will? You think will? If we don't do it, who's going to?
Amen.
I'll tell you who'll do it. No one. No one. Don't you consider one more thing before I close? Christians, if we fail to tell them, you do realize the Lord's going to hold us accountable, right?
Amen.
You know that, right? When you stand before God, their blood will be on your hands. Don't think for a second. How do I know this? Well, I know this because in Ezekiel 33, the Lord used an Old Testament truth to illustrate the point. In that chapter, he talked about the watchman who would stand on the wall of the city, who would watch for an approaching enemy. And God said that when the enemy came, if the watchman warned the people and they didn't heed the warning, then that was on them. But he said if the watchman failed to warn the people when the enemy came, then the watchman would be responsible and their blood would be on his hands.
Amen.
So what he's talking about guarding the city, friends, that's talking spiritual things. Okay, we're the watchman. And if we warn them and they say, no, I don't want Jesus, and they end up in hell, well, guess what? That's on them.
Amen.
But if we fail to warn them, and they die and go to hell, well, then guess what? That's on us. Don't think for a second God will not hold you responsible if you fail to do what he's called you to do. And if you think I'm wrong about this, well, I need to share this with you, friends. In Acts chapter 20, Paul reiterated this blood guilt principle in verses 26 and 7 when he said, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? He said, because I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
You hear what Paul said? I am free from the blood of all men. Why? Because I told you the truth.
done so, don't you think maybe you should, while you still have an opportunity to get it done? I mean, I think today's a real good day to come and pray and call on Jesus while there's still time to do it. Christians, let me ask you, are you faithful to declare the good news of the gospel to those who need it? Are you faithful to do it day in and day out? Let me ask you this, who do you know today who needs to know Jesus? Would you at least come and pray for them and pray that maybe God will give you an opportunity this week to share the gospel with them? Friends, the gospel matters, and it matters so much. I'm telling you, as God's people, and as His church, we have no greater task than taking the gospel to the world
around
us. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for all these that are here. Lord, I pray that there will be one here today who's never obeyed the gospel, who's never prayed, who's never called on your name for that salvation. I pray, God, right now, relationship with you, that you would show them the need for a Savior, for which you let. I pray they come today, Lord. I pray they call upon you. The Lord declares, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, if there's one here who needs to do that, I pray for him this morning. God, for those of us who are your people, help us to see, Lord, that our mission is your people, and our mission as a church is far more than